Jesus, Heiland meiner Seele, lass an deine Brust mich flehen, da die Wasser näher rauschen und die Wetter her sehen. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeben mir, selig drüben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Berg mich in den Lebensstürmen, bis vollen, der ist mein Lauf, werde mit zum Segen haben, nimm dann meine Seele auf. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, Seele droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich.
Andere Zuflucht hab ich keine, sagen hab ich nur auf dich. Lass, oh, lass mich nicht alleine, hebe her und stärke mich.
Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergebe ich mich. Seele drüben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Nur zu dir steht mein Vertrauen, dass kein Nebel mich erschreckt, mit den Schatten deiner Flügel sei mein wehrlos Haupt bedeckt. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Gnade um Gnade, volle Sehnen, sind in dir, o Jesu mein. Lass die Heilung mich bestreben, nimm gereinigt mich hinein. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergeb ich mich, selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Du bist ja des Lebens Quelle, die den Durst auf ewig still. Sei der Born in meinem Herzen, der zum ewigen Leben quillt. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergeb ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich.
Consider the lily that untied our spin, and there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrow that unplaint or so, but they're led by the Master who watches them grow. For we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy, a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low,
Consider the lily, then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars till the sun went to shine. He kisses the flowers each morning with dew, but he's not too busy to love me and you. For we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lily, then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars till the sun went to shine. He kisses the flowers each morning with dew, and he's not too busy to love me and you. For we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy, a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, then you will know.
Open your eyes, ye battle-scarred soldier. It's later than ever before. He will appear some glorious morning. It's coming, isn't I, at the door? Men will be lovers of self more than lovers of God. Filled with vain pride, worldly pleasures have thrown them away. But if we're his children, we must bear the chastising rod. For those that he loves, he'll teach them to trust and obey. So open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldier. It's later than ever before. He will appear some glorious morning. It's coming, isn't I, at the door? Some people believe that his coming is still far away. They often grow weary and so often they lay down their load. But just up ahead are the signs of a much brighter day. So don't lay down your load, child. We're too near the end of the way. So open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldier. It's later than ever before. He will appear some glorious morning. His coming is nigh at the door. Some people believe that his coming is still far away. They often grow weary and so often they lay down their load. But just up ahead are the signs of a much brighter day. So don't lay down the load, child. We're too near the end of the way. Open your eyes, you battle-scarred soldier. It's later than ever before. He will appear some glorious morning. His coming is nigh at the door. Oh, wounded soldier, pick up your weapon. Come fight the battle. We're not alone. For the angels are camped around us. We're not defeated. We'll soon be home. Oh, wounded soldier, pick up your weapon, come fight the battle. You're not alone, for the angels are camped around us. We're not defeated. We'll soon be home. I won't a soldier. Pick up your weapon. Come fight the battle. We're not alone. Nor the angels are camped around us. We're not defeated. We'll soon be home. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. Thy way to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He had loosed his faithful light of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, his truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. The truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. God is moving us on. He is leading the way. It's a way we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to cross. And before us he has placed an open door. God is moving us on. He is leading the way. It's a way we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb, there are valleys to cross, and before us he has placed an open door. God is moving us on, he is leading the way. It's the way we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb, there are valleys to cross, and before us he has placed an open door. Where's that scripture? Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, there's no way you can enter in.
Matthew 5:20.
The Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. Before he can destroy them, he had to expose them first.
Mm-hmm.
So here, it took him 3.5 years trying to show his disciples that thing out there, these scribes and these Pharisees, they're the problem. And he started here and early on in his ministry. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, these scribes and these Pharisees are still around today. You got to realize, you can't kill a spirit. That spirit, it's going to be around. The spirit of Satan will be around until his 6,000 years are up.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 years from now, they're up, and then there'll be, then and only then will you be able to defeat the devil. But until then, we're just going to have to put up with him and expose him for who he is and where he works at. And like back in the days of Jesus, like I say, Matthew 5, that's pretty much the Sermon on the Mount. That's when he started his early stages of his ministry, and he came out and here, for I tell you, unless your righteousness goes beyond that of the experts in the law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Den ich sage, ja, yes, I, denn da sei die Gerechtigkeit besser sei als die Schriftgelehrten und Pharisäer. So werdet ihr nicht in das Himmelreich kommen. That's what he was locking horn with all his life. For 3.5 years he was trying to show the people that these people in these pulpits back then, these scribes and these Pharisees, these holy people are so they seem to be the holy people. And it took him 3.5 years to expose them. And like I say, before he can destroy them, he had to first expose them. It wasn't until end of his ministry, just before he went to Calvary, that he opened up on him in Matthew 23. You can go read Matthew 23 over and over. And woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, woe unto you religious leaders. And here we got them too in this hour. And you and I, we're trying to warn people where the danger is. The danger is not in the people. It's not the people we're after. It's these people in the pulpit that Satan has infiltrated to deceive the very elect, if it would be possible. And all we're doing here on a day-to-day basis, we're just trying to expose them, the unfruitful works of God. We're exposing that religiology, and we can go back in history, and we can prove to you in history how these thugs have operated. Now we're coming all of a sudden, here we come, the only voice we have in this wilderness, and try to expose them. Who is the danger in the hour and time we're living in? It's these tugs in the pulpits, these Pharisees and these scribes. Like I say, Satan, he doesn't die. These demons, they don't die. They just put on a different cloak, and they, like I said the other day, there's nothing new under the sun. They just put on a different dress code, maybe a little bit of a longer beard, and part their hair in the middle and all that stuff, put on a hat and a black suit, and away they go. And the people, they look up to them and think they're really something, but they're deceivers. They're nothing but a bunch of antichrist. And I don't like to talk like that, because they're my relatives, they're people I grew up with. But see, somehow that whole system is engineered to deceive the very elect, and that thing started way back when Martin Luther was here. I went into history. See, you and I, we know our history, and we know exactly what we're talking about and what we're doing. We've been doing here forever and a day is trying to expose young, fruitful works of Darton, and we're running against the stream. We're running into a lot of opposition. We got a lot more enemies than we really know that we do. But see, we're fighting against the stream. We're going against the pricks, you know what I'm saying? And it's a tough road to hoe because we got a lot, like I say, we got a lot more enemies. They get together, they talk bad about us, and like we're the problem. And when they're the problem, that's mm-hmm. just the trick of the devil. He goes out and raises chaos, and then he blames the Christians for raising chaos, mm-hmm. like he did back in the early church, like Nero. He went out and burned down Rome, and then he blamed the Christians mm-hmm. for burning down Rome. It's the same thing here today. My family, we grew up, had to go through a lot of pain and heartache because of these times. And see, what they do, they turn around and think it's my problem. Mm-hmm. I'm the problem. Even my kids and grandkids, they think I'm the problem. Well, they're the problem. My kids grew up as orphans because of these tubs, because I told them the truth. And I remember driving down the highway one time, and the Lord spoke to me, said, I'm going to set it up, Sam, that you're going to have to go to their council, and I want you to talk to them. And that's what I did. I went, the Lord set it up that I was in their council, and all the only thing I had to tell them, that God sent the prophet, tell them about this end time truth, tell them about their diabolical satanic water baptism of the devil, all that I told them, and they wouldn't even look at it. Like you're talking to a devil. You're talking to people that are so deceived and so in darkness and consumed with power and religiology that you can't even get in. They didn't even as much as look at it. Like I said the other day, what a different world it would be in that Hutterite system. They wouldn't have to fight around with their young people going after poor. What a different world it would be if they would have took my advice and opened up their avenue and opened up their PA system to put the messages of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson on their PA systems instead of going to their diabolical satanic churches and reading sermons that have been written by Satan over the years. And like I told you, I can prove it to you. As soon as Martin Luther, it didn't take 10 years, along came that Zwingli guy, and along came that Andreas Enterprise. I went back into history. I'm not just beating my gums together here. I know what I'm talking about. And I saw how Satan worked. When God does something, Satan, he's right there like a dirty shirt to pervert it and to twist it out a little bit. And here comes Zwingli. Oh, it's wrong. It's wrong to have music instruments in the church. See, Martin Luther, like I said the other day, he was a musician. He loved to play his music and then sing in church. And they had, for a few years, they had a hallelujah time back in the early church. He completely set that European world completely free. Single-handedly, he brought Europe out of the Dark Ages and out of that religious, Roman Catholic, diabolical, satanic system. And here we're fighting the same thing as Martin Luther did. These Hutterite preachers, they're nothing but agents of Satan. But the thing of it is, the sad part is, they don't even know it. They're thinking they're doing God a service. Exactly what Jesus said, there comes a time, they'll put you out of their synagogues, and they'll kill you, and they'll beat you up, and they'll do whatever. And in the meantime, they think they're doing God a service. Mm-hmm. That's the forces that you and I are having to put up with. And, sometimes, sometimes you kind of get discouraged. You feel like giving up. You feel like, what's the point? But you just got to keep chipping away. The truth is marching on, and we can't give up like wounded soldier. Pick up your weapon. You just got to keep on fighting and exposing these diabolical satanic leaders. It's not that we hate them. We hate that spirit that's driving them. They're too stupid and too power, crazed for power and control that they can't even they can't even reason with.
That's right.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, give you thanks for another day of life. We just pray, Lord, you take our vocal cord, take our lips, take our actions, Lord, and use them for your honor and for your glory. Do it as you see fit. Help us to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Help us to say the things that need to be said in the day and hour that we're now living in. Because deception is of such magnitude, Lord, it'll deceive the very elect. But here we are. a lone voice in the wilderness, trying to expose these unfruitful works of darkness, trying to expose these religiologists, these cults all around the world, that they're rising up everywhere. And we're trying our level best, Lord, to do what you want us to do. We just pray you'll open the hearts of the people, give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Like if you and I, we don't say the things that we're saying, it's not going to be said, because you go to put your radar on, go around anywhere, go to any one of these cults, any one of these churches, and they won't tell you nothing about what we're telling you here. Mm-hmm. Nothing about God sending a prophet, and that the very thing that pertained to the church here, the Laodicea, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That gold is exactly what we're trying to tell the people here. That gold is the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Like I said before, if they would have only back 30, 40 years ago, put it in their PA system, took the advice that I gave, I told them, take your servants out in the middle of the yard and make sure everybody's there to watch it, burn them up. They're nothing but written by Satan, because the Bible says this is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. And we said it over and over again throughout the crazy. God sent these seven angels that Jesus held in his right hand, and he said, and he turned around and he went to explain what these seven stars are. They are the seven angels to the seven church ages, and we happen to be in the church age of Laodicea. And that is eternal life. That angel spoke to the vocal cord of William Branham, and then when he went off the scene, because we're living in Laodicea, God cannot afford to have a gap in between. As soon as Brother Branham went off the scene, here comes Raymond M. Jackson with a message to carry on. And for 40 years, he preached his heart out, and down before he went off the scene, and we're just continuing on with the program. Try to keep the things alive that he said. And I advise, I told him, to burn your sermons up and put this on your PA system, so people will learn. And we wouldn't have to fight we're in there. My family wouldn't have to grow up as orphans. My wife wouldn't have to die under their diabolical system. And my children wouldn't have to go through the hell that they have to go through, even to this day. I'm the problem. They got them so brainwashed, they think I'm the problem when they're the problem. Mm-hmm. Like that idiot over here in Summerfell, that so-called preacher Mike there, he's dead now. When he realized that they made a mistake, what does he do? He goes out and tells the public, oh, he didn't want his family anymore. So he set it up that we would excommunicate him. How low down can you even become to not only think about that, let alone say it, you know, and pollute other people's minds? That's what they think when they see me. Oh, he didn't want his family. Oh, he left his family. I tried time and time again. We had that officer from the sergeant from Nippawa down trying to make some kind of a deal that I could at least visit my children two times a week. They wouldn't even look at it. They're just a bunch of animals. Mm-hmm. I watched their history. I know their history. I went and read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, what that spirit did throughout the Dark Ages. And that spirit is on these tubs in the pulpit today. Mm-hmm. That preacher that gets up to Frieda's Aaron every day here and twice on Sunday. And it's all a pile of garbage. It's nothing but... There's not enough words to describe it.
Like Satan uses religion to control people. Like, don't think like the devil doesn't know the scripture. He knows enough scripture in order to use it to keep people in bondage. And that's what all these systems of religions have. They have some truth, but that truth is used to keep people in bondage. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, they're born there and they die there. They've never been any place outside of that place, and they think, and that's the way it should be. And we're trying to come along and tear down those strongholds that are in these places, those religious infrastructures, and it's really strongholds that keep people in bondage and not. So people can't be free, like even the like how Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. He exposed them, like people thought they were the righteous people in their hour. Back in the days of Jesus, they thought they were the upright, righteous people. And everything they did, people like really thought they were holy people and righteous. And then Jesus comes along and says, like at one point here in Luke 11, I read it yesterday, so I thought I'll read it here. And he said in verse 35, and he spoke. And as he spoke, a Pharisee invited Jesus to have a meal with him. So he went in and took his place at the table. The Pharisees were astonished when he saw that Jesus did not first wash his hands before the meal. See, everything they do is to make people think that they're holy. And here comes Jesus, and he sits at the table and doesn't even wash his hands. And to the Pharisees, that was a major crime. You go to the Hutterites and you don't have a certain attire on, that's a major crime. But the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. And you can say that a lot about a lot of these religious leaders. You fools, didn't the one who made the outside make the inside as well? But give from your heart to those in need, and then everything will be clean for you. So he goes on and exposes those Pharisees, and those Pharisees in our day and hour are religious leaders. They're the same, they're cut out of the same cloak, out of the same spirit that's driving them. They appear in on the outside as holy, but inside they're not clean. They're not washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You're not born again.
Yeah, that's right. And if you're not born again, you're not washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are unclean, no matter who you are, because everybody comes into this world in the same manner, and everyone has to leave this world in the same manner. And that's why we need Jesus, not a religious from charade in order to get to heaven.
Yeah, we've been trying to expose him here, and Jesus, he tried for 3.5 years. He started slow. He didn't want to all of a sudden rock the boat too much, so he started telling his followers, telling those that would give him an ear, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can in no wise enter in. And then his disciples asked him later on, who then can be saved? They were so convinced they were the people. And that's the same way it is in this hour. There's nothing new under the sun. It just repeats himself and repeats itself, because he's got no brains when it comes to spirituality. So what he does, he uses the same tricks over and over and over again. What he did back in the days of Jesus, he's doing the very same thing today. Only this time, here in his end time, he's a lot more powerful. He's a lot more deceptive, because he's learned all these tricks, how to do it. And now he's set up a system, a cult, that he can deceive the people. All he's got to do is get a hold of the leadership, and then he's got all the people falling down to destruction, down to hell. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to open up the hearts of the people, at least a yield sign or a stop sign. Stop and take a look at this thing, if what you're saying is not 100% true. Like when I told him about, I was in their kangaroo courts time and time again, and the Lord set it up. So I told him about the Brother Branham, about here the end time. I told him about what a baptism that they have is of the devil. It was instituted in Nicaea Rome by Constantine, by these antichrists, and now it became legal throughout the Dark Ages. And now today, all these churches around the world, they're all polluted with it, and they're all baptized in that diabolical, satanic, water baptism by pouring or sprinkling in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is not a name, it's a title. It says in the name, back in the day, and Jesus said in the name, go baptizing them in the name. Father is not a name, Father is a title. And then Paul and Peter comes along at the day of Pentecost, and he tells us what that name is. when they ask them, what must we do to be saved? What to God, the people would do, they ask, what must we do to be saved? But see, back then, they were desperate, and Peter said, this Jesus whom you crucified, and they said, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the gift of the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. They didn't have any rules and regulations back then. They only had one or two rules and regulations. Don't eat meat over to idols, and don't drink blood that's over to idols. And other than that, the Holy Ghost was leading and guiding the people into all truth, and before Satan got in. Once Satan got in, then he started bringing in these antichrists and bringing in these legalistic systems, and they started to make up a bunch of rules and regulations. But before that, the Holy Ghost was leading and guiding people, telling them who to call out to be a preacher and who to call out to do this. Like Stephen, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost brought upon him men that feared God. And throughout his Paul's travel, the Holy Ghost told Paul who to take along on this journey and that journey. All it was the Holy Ghost was leading and guiding the people. It wasn't legalistic like it is today. It took them Jesus all 3.5 years till finally Matthew 23, he came out and he just hammered them home. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you, religious leaders. And if he was here today, he would do the same thing, only a little bit more verbal. That's all. Because we're living in a very treacherous hour. Deceiving spirit, doctrines and devils and all that stuff. Well, that's the forces that we're combating with on a day-to-day basis. That's why we wouldn't make it. We are fasting and praying and taking time out to do what we're doing and trying to expose these unfruitful works that are there. Because, like I said earlier, Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. That thing out there they call Riverside Colony and all these colonies, whatever their name is, they're nothing but agents of Satan. It's just that simple. I don't know how simple you can put it. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is step back and open up your eyes and take your Bible. See, we read the Bible all our lives, and we can see the pictures so crystal clear. It's just a repeat of what's been, and Satan has somehow managed to set it up, started back in the 1500s, and like I say, Martin Luther's ministry, it didn't last very long. Before you know it, they were back asleep, and then these zealots and these scribes and these Pharisees, they dragged the church back into communism, because I can prove it to you, that Hutterite system and that Amish system and all these brethren down, they're first-class communists. They just got a different code on, a legalistic religious system, and they're, and people are deceived. People think that's the way to go, and looks good from the outside. But inside, like you were saying, it's nothing but dead men's law, legalism. There's no room for the Holy Spirit in there to navigate. And they got their leadership, and they got their popes and their zealots, and that's the way they try to control the people.
Yeah,
they're back in prison again. You go to these colleges, they're in prison. They never get a chance to go down like you and I. We decided one day we're going to go down to West Yellowstone Park, and then we decided we're going to go over to San Jose, California, and we're going to go to the Grand Canyon, and we're going to go down to the place in California, the Death Valley. There's nothing to stop us. We just went in the car and we drove. See, these people are locked up. They could never do that. If they went and asked permission to go down to Death Valley, they wouldn't let them, because it's control. It's a hierarchy. Satan does not want people to have freedom. You and I, we got our freedom. We want to, we'll decide tomorrow we're going to go out to Alaska. We'll just get in the car and go to Alaska if we want to, if we so choose. We're free to do what's right. We're free to do anything that the Lord puts on our hearts to do. If we were locked up, then that's this. Believe you me, we wouldn't have this website. We wouldn't have this internet. We wouldn't have access because the hierarchy would not let us. And see, the Lord got us out of that prison, and now what we can do, we can expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And it's not, see, it's not the people. The people are just as locked up as anything. Some of them, they would like to get out of that cage if they could, but they can't. You know, like on a, they're like on a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Can't get off even if they wanted to. Or like that squirrel in that cage. He's got to keep running. Whether he wants or not. And that's the way it is with these systems, these locked up prisons. That's all they are. It's a prison with no walls, just like the penitentiary. Penitentiary, they have walls. But these people, they have no wall. It's a religious system. You can't even get in there. That's why they got us in the out. And then they try to shut us up, you know, and things like that. Mm-hmm. We're just doing what the Lord wants us to do. Mm-hmm. We're exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, you know, if we wouldn't be doing it, wouldn't get done, and people would just drift out to hell and that, and they wouldn't even know they wouldn't even know what's going on.
That's see, right.
We got a job to do, and we're exposing them. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we're telling the people that's going to list for us, we're going to give them an expected end. You're going to come along, and you're going to do exactly what the Bible says. Blessed is he that's been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the only thing that's open up now here in this end time. The grace age is over, but grace is not over. Now the only thing that's open before all hell breaks loose is the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you reject that, I tell you what, you can go back and read it. Matthew 22, and you're going to find out what's going to happen just up the road here. Once God takes back the curtain, and the time will come when all hell will be unleashed. He'll send out his armies, and he's going to kill these murderers and burn down their cities. That's the only thing these religions and these cults have to look forward to. I don't think God's going to spare them. If he didn't spare Israel, look what Israel had to go through because they rejected the word of God. And these people think they're going to be spared. They're setting ducks out there for judgment to come. You can see, if you look around, open up your eyes, you can see judgment coming on Canada and the U.S. with all these Muslims coming in and all these Eastern religions coming in. It's just setting it, God setting it up for judgment to come up. We'll come on the scene here.
Yeah, because Israel, you can see what happened to Israel when they went into apostasy. Judgment came in the same way with Canada and United States. Judgment is just looming on the horizon because of rejecting the prophet and his message. Mm-hmm. What God had for Laodicea, for the church age of Laodicea. And Laodicea is basically the time frame of 1906 to 2021. That was the church age of Laodicea. And the only man that was sent by God with a message was William Branham. And Brother Jackson continued on with that message. And without that, you do not have a message in Laodicea. They were the ones sent by God, a man sent by God with a message for the church age of Laodicea. And when you read over the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation, you will see the condition and everything is exactly the way it's described there. And it's quite, if people don't want to see, then they'll not see. And like all we're trying to do is, when we expose these religious leaders and these religious systems, they see it says in Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we know the truth. We know what the enemy has been up to in history and what he's up to, what his agenda and his plan is. So we can expose him. What he's doing through these religious leaders. It's really the adversary doing that through these religious leaders. He has to use somebody, and that's who he's using. That's his subjects. And then when we come along, what we're doing is when we're exposing it, we're tearing down those strongholds. It's really strongholds in the lives of people, and we come and with the truth tear them down. And that's and so just to deliver people so that they don't have to live like that. They don't have to be subject living under bondage. And that was really, when you look at it, it's imaginations, just like it says in Corinthians, casting down imaginations. Every arrogant obstacle that is raised up against the knowledge of God. See, really, that's what it is. It's an arrogant obstacle that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Jesus came to set the captives free. We don't need to live like that in order to get to heaven. It's a system of bondage. And we're just coming along, tearing down those strongholds so that people can be set free. That's all our desire is in life, that they don't have to be subject to a life like that. They get bored, and all their life, they labor away, and they never find deliverance in those systems. And I really feel for these people. Like, sometimes when I think about it, my heart really goes out to them. That's where they live, that's where they're born, and that's where they die. They never get to see anything. They never get to experience the liberty that God had brought in through the grace age and what he's set people free of. But no, those people come along, those pious people, and they create an environment that they think that is real, and these people think that's the way it should be, but it's not. And there's a lot of fear that is put on people, that fear, and they're scared that if they don't do what they're told to do a certain way, then they're going to be condemned. See, that's all tearing down those strongholds so people can be free. Yeah, you know, when you read the Bible and the truth of God's word, and you have it in your heart and in your mind, these things can set you free, and you don't have to live in fear and bondage. It's all been done, and it's a done deal. It was done at 33 A.D., and people don't have to be subject to that kind of an environment.
See, the Bible says, if God did not spare the natural branch, how much is he not going to spare you and I? Hat Gott den natürlichen Zweig nicht verschont, wie viel mehr wird euch auch nicht verschont? That's where the Gentile, we're grafting in. If he God did not spare the true branch, how much less is he going to spare the grafted in one? That's what they're talking. That's what's looming on the horizon, because the people have rejected the truth. Mm-hmm. They've rejected the message for you. They're just up the road here. You're going to see exactly the wrath of God being poured out for those people that rejected the truth, that rejected the prophet, the message to the church.
Right.
They work overtime to get me, to get rid of me. And I remember driving down the road. I think I said it earlier. I'm driving down the road, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, Sam, I'm going to set it up. I want you to go to their council. I want you to express and the things that I put on your heart. You just say it the way you want, the way I tell you to say it. And that's exactly, I ended up in their council. I call them their kangaroo courts, and they already determine what they're going to do with me. And I told them about God sending a prophet. And like I said earlier, what to God he would have advised, took my advice, and adopted what I said. Put that on your PA system. Take your servants and burn them. And the only message that we have in the church here to Laodicea is the message of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And they would have done what you and I did. We went out when we heard about it. We went to get ourselves educated. We were doing exactly what Jesus said. He hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but he revealed them unto babes such as would learn. You and I were taught, and we found out about exactly what we're saying here. We found out that God sent a prophet, and that he came to open up the scriptures to it. It's that gold mine that back in the church age of Laodicea, I count stuff need to buy of me gold. And before that, you can see that this condition of Laodicea, that the religious system out there, they're blind, they're naked, they're wretched, they're poor, and they're miserable. That's the environment that you see in these colonies and these Amish and these brethren down east. Oh, it is a system of communists. That's all it is. And then, like I said earlier, the Dark Ages didn't stop with Mao. Satan sat back and he began to infiltrate it with his religious zeal. He wasn't going to take that sitting down. And guess what? He starts up these cults and these communes. And now it's a pure first-class communistic system because I can prove it. They got their pope. They got their little cubbyhole that it was back in the Dark Ages where you had to go to the priest to get rid of your sins. And here they are. Right, they adopted that same principle. They don't have adopted that principle where Jesus died on the cross and that curtain into the Holy of Holies was torn, and now we all have access into the Holy of Holies. You don't have to go to that high priest garbage anymore. That's all done away with. Now you come into the Holy of Holies. Direct, you walk before the throne of God. If you have something, you just confess it to the Lord. And then and just that simple. You don't go to that priest and tell him anything because that priest is he's a pedophile in 50% of them. Mm-hmm. How can you expect that pedophile to do anything good for you? It's such a big subsystem. And all we're doing here, we're just exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. That's the commission that the Lord has given to you and I. And if we don't see it, it's, believe you me, it's not going to be said because the people, they got them in fear-mongering. They're afraid what they'll do to them. Like I keep saying over and over again, I lost everything. I got nothing to lose because I lost it all already. So now I'm free to say exactly what the Lord puts on my heart. I'm not bound to their, I'm not bound into their cult. And they come around here, they try to put the law down to us. You got to do this, you got to do that. We're not bound under no religious system. We're only bound to the Word of God. That's right. What we're doing. We're just exposing them and bringing them out in light and doing exactly what Jesus did in his hour. He went to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, and he exposed these scribes and these Pharisees. And then at the end of his journey, he said, "Woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you." And after Jesus went out to see, along comes Paul. He had to put up with the same zealot, with the same antichrist. And he said, "Would to God they were cut off." That's what he said. Would to God they were dead. Because they were always harassing him. And then Brother Brennan comes along, and then Brother Jackson comes along, and he says, "They're not worth one clean bullet." See, they're fighting these demons. They're fighting that spirit of Satan that operated throughout the Dark Ages. Here in Revelation, it says, "Rejoice, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, because Babylon is falling, and then 3 years from now, there will be no more Babylon. None of that religious system is going to, God, the day of the Lord is going to destroy, and Jesus will come back, and he's going to destroy that whole religious infrastructure. And now, right now, you and I have every reason to rejoice, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for because Babylon is on its way out." Mm-hmm. The Bible says in 1 hour she was going to be completely destroyed in 1 hour. And Revelation language is 7 years, and it started October 15, 2021. And by the time 28 comes around, there will be no more Satan. There will be no more of these religious systems. And the only exit route you have now, you can accept what God has done and the church of the Laodicea. I gave us Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Now we're just finishing, putting in the finishing touches, and we're just got one message, invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you reject that, you're just going to have to suffer the consequences. That's just that simple. We're not playing a game here. This is serious stuff, because I know what I had to go through. I know what my family had to go through because of these tongues. These people call themselves preachers, but they're nothing but scorpions and serpents. That's what they are. And I don't hate the people. I just hate that devil that's trying to control them and trying to take over everything. And he will in the last days, here in the last days. Once the Holy Spirit is gone, once that rapture happens, Satan has full reign of this planet. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take that opportunity to take that exit route now in these closing days of time, well, like I keep saying, you'll just have to suffer the consequences. Just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we just want to make it clear to people that we're not after anybody in particular, no human being, but just to set these people free. And we're just tearing down those strongholds of Satan, Lord, that he uses, Lord, and all casting those imaginations, because at the end of the day, that's all it is imaginations. It's not real, those religious ideologies, Lord, and casting them down and bringing them under the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And we just want to expose the unfruitful works of darkness and what Satan uses, and that people can be set free. They don't have to live in a place that is full of control and bondage and fear, Lord. But you came to set the captives free, Lord. And we just want to help people so that they can understand that and be set free, Lord. And be in that provided way that you have for this day and hour, Lord. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.